Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. It is a warm, warm, warm day in the South here. How is it in your area? And are you able to get out into the spring and into the summer and see, you know, this great world around us? Because it tends to be, it's been such a cold winter, a lot of people say they can't wait to get out in the summer to feel alive again. What about the people who are not well? Are they able to be able to get out into the summer and start to feel alive again? And all of these medical diseases and cancer and chronic disease and all of these things that are coming up and seeming like they're hitting everybody these days. I don't know about you, but my daughter called me the other day and says, my goodness, she's in her early 20s and there were three guys who were in high school with her and they all have stage 4 testicular cancer. Really? And you're thinking, my gosh, 20 years ago, I'm almost 60 now, 20 years ago, I don't ever remember anybody having stage 4 testicular cancer. And then I go to the grocery store this past weekend, and there's two women there talking about their ports. And I'm going, what is this world coming to? How can all of these things that are happening to our bodies be so common that we're just, well, you know, I've got a port. Hey, how was yours, you know? How was your day? And it's just getting to be too common. Are we starting to accept cancer as just normal? Are we just going to say, oh, yeah, I've got it, so on to the next thing? And then we hear about people who are fighting the fight. What is fighting the fight? You know, I'm going to fight that fight. You know, I have all my troopers behind me. I'm going to have my support system and my family, and we're going to go after this thing. And does it really ever take down the invader? Today, the topic is cancer, and we're going to be talking all the way around the circle on it. Medical therapies, alternative therapies, are we really fighting the fight, or are we winning the battle? And it's a really, really difficult question to ask when it's your life that's in balance. So today, my guests, I have two guests today. The first is Dr. James Forsyth. He is known as the compassionate oncologist, and he has been widely praised nationwide as a highly respected leader in pioneering the combination of conventional, alternative, and complementary medicine, particularly in the treatment of cancer. You know, that is extremely important. To date, people have been saying, I'm going to do everything my doctor is telling me, my MD. And then at the end, when it comes back again, or when they aren't able to fight that fight, then they turn around and they're looking for alternatives. Now, should alternative be first and then MDs? Should it be together? That's what we'll be talking about today. My other guest is Al Sanchez. He is the CEO of AMARC Enterprises, which is the company that has developed PolyMVA, which is the best product for supporting your system in these challenging healthcare times. And I will tell you, PolyMVA, if you have any challenge, chronic disease, just not well at all, over fatigue, over stress, some of these cancers that just take your body down, PolyMVA is about building it back up. So, gentlemen, thank you and welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have
Glad to have us.
Yeah, thank you, Jeanette, for having us.
You know, it was exciting because, again, you and I were just going to do this show this morning, and it so happened to work out with my travels that I was going to be here in Reno. So I get, as always, a pleasure to sit here with Dr. Forsyth and discuss the cases and what he's doing and how he's seeing things. And actually the best part about it is actually just to sit with the patients, to come into his office, and he has a big, nice, open area with lots of chairs for the patients to get the various therapies. And it's such a different environment for anyone who's ever been into a traditional oncology ward where it's just you feel the negativity, you feel the lack of life to a certain degree. And here, everyone has a great attitude. They're knowing they're doing all they can and that they're in one of the best set of hands in this realm, that if they have any questions, if they have any concerns, they're free to ask questions, they're free to learn, they're free to talk to other people. And they know that sometimes it's not going to go the way they want it to go, but they're going with such a quality of life and such a nice mindset that I've seen it, and it's hard to explain for someone that hasn't seen it, but when you see it, you know that, that there's a difference and there's a value there. And it's just, you know, it's been an honor for me personally to know what Jim does and how he's doing it since I've met him back in the early 2000s after he met with my father, that, you know, he's helping people and he's doing the best he can and he's willing to share what he knows and just help people. And that's what doctors signed up to do in the beginning. And he gets to do that now. And he made that change at that point in his career when he realized that I'm not really helping people. I'm just part of this big system. It's not really working. What did it take for him to step out? And what he's challenged over the years has been quite amazing. If you could ever read his bio and his story, it's quite amazing to hear what he'd have to say. But in general, it's great to be here so he can share personally one-to-one what he's done on that.
It's great to have Dr. Forsythe with us because, you know, Dr. Forsythe, you've been around a while, and, you know, that's not a negative thing. That's a fabulous thing because you can see the transition, and I'm sure you've had to make those adjustments. But also, you know, I'm sure you remember when cancer really wasn't a big word or when everybody you knew didn't share about their ports at the grocery store. And can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Yeah, thank you, Jeanette. There has been a tremendous transition over the years, and I've been practicing. Well, let's put it this way. I got my medical license the year Medicare came into being in 1965, so that's how old I am. My kids say that I'm older than dirt. I'm actually 75, still practicing actively. But I did train. Went through undergraduate at Berkeley and then across the bay to UC San Francisco. Graduated 19th in my class, and then was in the military for 7 years, including a tour in Vietnam, trained as a pathologist in the military. And then when I got back from Vietnam, I trained in internal medicine, then went into a cancer fellowship at my alma mater, UC San Francisco. So I have been around the block a few times there, and actually practiced in the city for a couple of years before I decided I wanted to be in a smaller town. So I've been in Reno for the last 40 years and actually was the first trained cancer specialist in town. When I first came to Reno, the surgeon who was doing most of the cancer work said, "We don't need an oncologist here. I'm handling everything myself."
Wow.
It's kind of funny because now we have about 15 oncologists here in Reno, and I ran the VA program. I started the cancer wards at all the hospitals here and Ronald McDonald House and a number of other things, and also teach at the University of the Medical School here as an associate professor of medicine. But I was very conventional when I got here. I did, as I said earlier to you, I did everything cookbook, reached up on the shelf, got Betty Crocker out, and followed the protocols precisely.
Right.
And yet, when I look back on my 4 or 5 year results, boy, I was hard put to find long-term survivors. And then I began reading the literature that mine was the usual case, not the extraordinary, and that the long-term results, as published in their own journal, the Journal of Clinical Oncology, revealed that in retrospective studies, 5 years of treatment with chemo, both in the United States and Australia, yielded about the same results, 2.1 and 2.3% survivorship. And then when you think about that, Jeanette, think about what happens, as you had mentioned in your intro, to those people that do survive. They have all the adverse toxicities of chemo, including chemo brain neuropathies, heart damage, liver damage, kidney damage, cytopenias, you name it. And so at what cost is an excellent question, and not only in terms of the physical cost, the mental cost, but the financial expenditures. Remember when Nixon declared his war on cancer in 72, about the same year I went into my fellowship, we've since spent almost $200 billion, that's billion, on cancer research and cancer treatments, and what has it yielded for us? Very, very little. I mean, when you say if you were a ball manager, you would never hire a player with a 2% batting average. So it's not a pretty thing, and that's what caused me in the mid-90s to jump the fence and get my homeopathic degree and then expand my practice to do what's called now integrative oncology, which is actually offered now in many large university fellowship programs as a subspecialty of regular oncology. So that's
you know,
I
live here in the deep south, you know, and you say about the $1 billion on, you know, oncology. And we're getting ready to, next year I think it is, or the following year, to open up the square mile plot of, you know, 10 and 20 story buildings. It'll be called the biotech industry of the south. And, you know, I look at that and I say, okay, so there'll be great things. People are saying there'll be great things in cancer. There'll be a lot of research going on here, you know. All of the best people are going to be coming here. They're rehabbing houses like nobody's business here in New Orleans, you know. And then you turn around and you say, but, you know, is there better care here for the patients? And the answer is generally no, because in this state, they did not accept whatever it was to be able to get, you know, more insurance coverage for patients here. And as I've said in the opening, is that I know a lot of people right now that are having a lot of cancer at young ages. I'm seeing MS in a 21-year-old, and it's not just onset. It is well advanced. It is rapid onset and well advanced. These testicular cancers, why is that coming up in young 20-year-olds? It's not like they weren't paying attention. It is just hitting like ballbusters to all these people, and they are just out. They just are being brought to their knees, and they're saying, something is wrong with me. They go to the doctor, and in some areas, I will have to say, because I generally like to check out things for myself, I've found that when people are diagnosed in some areas, if you don't have insurance or you have a substandard insurance, what happens is they'll say, we'll call you up for your appointment. And do you know those calls never come? Or those calls and they say you're on a waiting list, or it's 6 months, or it's to a year. You know, so we really have a whole paradigm of people that are able to get services, people that are not able to get services, and all of these numbers go in together, and you say, are we curing cancer? Are we helping people? And is this really the best way? Is it the best way to start looking at biotech and, you know, oh, well, if there's people in this area that don't have insurance, let's just enlist them in clinical trials. You know, so these are a lot of the topics
really
I think I wanted to talk about.
But I found through my current study, using genomic testing is the best thing since sliced bread in terms of oncology developments in the last 40 years, because it, when you look for circulating tumor cells in cancer patients, and you almost always find them, Jeanette, then you have a blueprint for the patient, a roadmap that tells you what drugs, what targeted agents, what hormones, and what supplements are going to be best. And you'd be surprised the things that come up. And beforehand, it was always with me and a patient, a guessing game. I would pretend like I knew what was best and try and convince the patient of that. But I knew in my heart that maybe there was only a 50% response for this protocol I was going to give her or him. And yet I had to be positive about it, so that they would transmit a positive image to them that I was very confident that they were going to get better. You see what I mean? But now with the genetic testing, we are definitely positive. I always tell patients, now, if I'm giving you the wrong chemo, I'm giving you a poison. It's as simple as that. I'm hurting you. I'm delaying your treatment. I'm going to speed along your demise. So it's not helping. Now, with supplements, it's a little different, because I can give the wrong supplements and not hurt the patient. In fact, they might help their heart disease or their cholesterol or whatever. But supplements are not as important. Hormones, though, can be important as well, because if you're giving the wrong hormone to a patient, that could speed up cancer growth as well.
Right.
So this has been a real epiphany for me in terms of finding the value of the genomic testing. And if you've heard the advertisements on TV from Cancer Treatment Centers of America, who have six clinics in the United States at various places, the main one being in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they get on the air now and they're hyping the fact that genomic testing is the future of cancer treatment. So picking the right drugs, and they don't even do supplements there, incidentally, Jeanette. They just rely completely on big pharma drugs, and they don't do it in low-dose insulin potentiated fashion like we do here, which is also saves the patient all the toxicity, but yet engenders all the benefits of chemo without the toxic side effects.
Yeah, because sometimes the treatments will just as well hasten, it sucks the life out of you, and you really feel that because you don't have that energy to be able to have a quality of life where you can be with your family and, you know, and just do those important things that you really need to do in your life at that time. And when that happens, you know, I've seen so many patients and clients, and they would just be, just leave me alone. I don't have the energy to talk. I need the energy for my treatments. And it's really important to know that there are other ways, and I think that's what you're bringing to the listeners today, is that there are different ways to do things. And I will tell you for a known fact, I know several physicians, if you talk to them about what you're saying about how you work with your clients, they will look at you like you have an antenna in your nose and 10 things sticking out your ears. They have no clue what you're talking about, and they will be just whatever, and they walk away. So it's really up to the patients to be able to have to say, you know, I think there may be a different way, and I'm going to check it out. And that's what you're offering here, and we're offering that to the listeners. There may be another way, and it's very important to listen. Is that, you know, to take that hope and say, I'm going to check it out. And it's really up to the patient to check it out because the physicians can't be everywhere and doing everything, and some of them just don't care to even do that. So it's really up to you to find that.
Well, I think you brought up two good points there, Jeanette. One about, you mentioned their energy level. Energy level is directly related with their quality of life, with their activity of life, with your general, you know, if you get up in the morning and you don't feel well, even if you just have the flu, you're not doing much then. Let alone if you have an advanced stage cancer. So I think it's one of the places where the poly-MVA has been shown, what Jim's work initially showed and what all the stuff that my dad had shown earlier on was the fact that you have energy. And that's how it works, actually. It's kind of ironic that you brought that up, but that's where poly does its magic, as we call it. It's transferring. It's an energy transfer molecule. So it helps to support your energy production in all your cells, and that happens to be quote-unquote, like people want to say, anti-cancer, because cancer cells don't utilize energy the same way. And that's where I've learned a lot in a lot of Jim's earlier studies, that's what he was targeting. You know, we hear about the metabolic theory of disease. Well, heck, now they know that metabolic theory not only is about disease, but it's about how the cell replicates. Well, that replication is directly related to how it grows, how it does what it needs to do. So whether it's a liver cell, a kidney cell, an immune system cell, they all need the proper energy support to go do what they need to do. And when you enhance the body's normal, our bodies know how to, we have anti-cancer genes. We have a great immune system. Problem is, something turned it off. Something's getting in its way. Something's altering its normal mechanism. If we can somehow support that, that's what the studies have shown, and that's what Jim's work, and that's what his patients have shown, that they, one, feel better, two, live longer, and obviously he's landed on some unique recipe because he's beating the conventional numbers and some of the alternative numbers hands down. So it makes sense, and I love to call it just simply common sense medicine. Give your body what it needs, support its normal mechanism, and then where you need it to, yes, use allopathic medicine, use the pharmaceuticals because they're very unique, they're very powerful. I mean, you know, Dr. Forsythe's had one hip replacement, and he's scheduled for another one. And, you know, he's out walking, and you get people coming out of heart surgeries, and they're back up and going in a week now, whereas 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, oh, my God, you had to keep them rested. You didn't want to do this. No, you want to get them in. You want to get them out and let the body heal itself, and look what it can do. But the chemotherapies and the radiotherapies are just so anti-normal body function that how do you balance that out? And I think, you know, Dr. Forsythe has landed on something that's key.
Well, not
but
only
also,
that.
Go ahead, Dr. Forsythe.
I just was going to insert here, and I agree with everything Al said, is that when you sandwich immune therapy in between your IPT therapy, and part of our immune therapy is IV poly-MVA and IDOC and L-glutathione and our Myers cocktail, like which we call the Forsythe immune therapy, those things help stimulate the immune function while you're giving the low-dose chemo. And by low-dose, we're talking about just 10 or 15%, Jeanette, and we've actually seen a 90% reduction in tumor mass just over a 3 to 4 week period while we give the program, which lasts 3 to 4 weeks typically in our clinic.
And that's so vitally important. I don't know how many physicians I've spoken to have said, no, we're killing everything. We're not going to be building anything up yet. And, you know, and patients would say, you know, I need energy. And they're like, okay, we'll give her some Ensure. You know, energy is not on the bottom of a can of Ensure.
Dr. Pepper.
I mean, this is so far. I mean, I know it's hard for the listeners to get a concept on this, because if that is your paradigm, that is where you are. It's time to say, that is not the way that I choose to go, or it may be the way you choose to go. But what we are saying, Dr. Forsyth, I and Al are all saying, is that there is another way to check things out and see if maybe you could grab a hold of these therapies that Dr. Forsyth is talking about, because they are essential to building and working with your body to change what got turned on, so that you're not just, you know, it's not about my car is low on oil, so let's just go out and just pour some more oil in it, even though it's filthy. It's eventually going to hit the wall again, you know. So it's you have to address what needs to be done to have a clear terrain, to get things going in the right direction. In other words, everybody's got to be in the car with the car doors shut and the windows up if it's raining outside, you know? You can't just go half-willingly down the road and expect to get the same results. And that's really, really important in cancer therapies, is that if you want quality of life, if you're able to keep going, and if you want to instill that hope and just have a longer period of life, you need to have all of these things in place. And Dr. Forsyth, I'm sure you know that that's so essential, and that's
excellent,
how you probably speak with your patients.
Comment. And also, Jeanette, we haven't even touched on the fact that our clinic offers pH balancing. We feel that alkalinity is very important. We have alkaline water, green powders, various substances that alkalinize the body. Cancers don't do well when your body pH is higher than the normal 7.42. Also, we detox the patients. We offer colonics. We offer the BioMap, far infrared saunas, things like that. The detox, the mind-body interaction is very important. We offer spiritual counseling. We also offer oxidative therapies. The three that are most common are ozone, IV peroxide, and hyperbaric chambers. And we prefer the hyperbaric chambers. Peroxide, but I do have a hyperbaric chamber as well. But all those things are part of our program, which is in general called the Forsyth Immune Protocol. But it offers all those things, so it's a whole a menu of things that are going to get the patient well. And our patients, if you look at them coming out of our center, they're not bald, they're not vomiting, they're happy, they're energized, and
right.
A lot of that energy does come from the PolyMVA product, which is an energizer in itself to normal cells, but it hastens apoptosis or cell death in cancer cells. So that's very valuable. We've used that all along for the last 14, 15 years, I would say. So we're very pleased with the fact that Al is promoting his product from AMARC, and has been very instrumental in helping me develop this entire protocol, which is now showing, as I said, a 66% survival rate at 4 years, and that's over 600 patients in our study, which compares very favorably to the 2% survival rate at 5 years that's written in the conventional oncology literature.
And that's so vitally important for people to know, that is that there are other ways, and I think you're giving us so much information. And also, Al, we have spoken about this before on other shows before, is that cancer doesn't just show up at your door, hey, I'm here, you know, and you open the door and it's there. You know, it's not just something that, you know, stage four is, you could write it on your calendar, it's going to show up like they do on TV, you know, your heart attack is going to show up tomorrow. Well, you know, cancer is going to show up on March 22nd, 2014. You know, your body has been working towards this process before, and it's so important, even with chronic diseases, that you pay attention and you take care of your body because, you know, just like the car, it's going to end up in a different place, you know, and it may not be the road that you want to be on.
But that's a great point on two aspects. It makes me think earlier about what you said that we've, you know, in this country, everything's a battle. Well, guess what? The war on cancer, the war on terror, the war on drugs, guess what? They were all miserable failures. War doesn't do anything except typically cause more hurt and pain for other people, and that's true in this case as well. Cancer rates themselves, you know, as part of the conference that I was just at over the weekend, they showed the rates. You know, cardiovascular disease is down well over 60 to 70% in some cases. Diabetes, all these other things, yet things like influenza and cancer are just barely a drop in the bucket. And primarily that can be addressed to more earlier detection, so therefore you have longer-term survival. So if normally you weren't going to get diagnosed until you were in your late 30s or early 40s, and now you're getting diagnosed in your 20s, well, guess what? Your chances of you are going to live longer simply because of the earlier diagnosis, not because of anything in the therapies. And when you factor those types of things in, cancer actually became the number one killer, I think, well earlier into the 90s than it did. You know, some people argue, depending on what numbers you factor in now recently, but cancer has been the number one killer for a very long time now. And so how do we approach this on the front end? Yeah, you're right. Stage four cancer doesn't just show up on your door when you go in and all of a sudden have that prolonged cough and you know, went and had a scan and somebody says, oh, you're covered in cancer. What do you mean I'm covered in cancer? I was feeling fine 2 weeks ago. It goes to show you how cancer cells aren't the foreign organism. They're not the bacteria. They're not the virus that come in. So you're telling me that my immune system just wasn't working in my prostate over the past year, but it was taking care of everything else in my body, but just not there in that tissue. No, something else is going on. Why was it cloaking itself? How come the receptor sites weren't working? What pathways weren't being triggered? What light switches weren't turned on? And the only thing that keep those things turned on and keep you healthy are things like good healthy food, clean water, lack of toxicity, nutritional supplements. So, yeah, if you could ever get on the front end of this, of course, prevention is far greater than cure, and that's why things like Pauly and even some of the protocols that Dr. Forsythe have, yes, you take those. I mean, he takes supplements. I take the supplements that we recommend to our cancer patients every day. This is we know that because that's what our bodies need, not only to keep cancer at bay, but your body's developing cancer cells every day. You know, every day through replication in 50 or 70 trillion cells, depending on the size of your body, you're making cancer cells every day. So what allowed those to hang around in a certain tissue versus a different tissue under a certain condition? Well, that recipe is almost too complex to ever figure out. However, the body knows how to take care of that. Give it what it needs, support it with nutritional supplements, support it with good food, support it with good water, with exercise, with spirituality, with meditation, with good sleep, and guess what? That's a recipe for success for any disease, let alone advanced stage cancer, because, again, cancer cells take a long time before they show their ugly face at a certain level. And the problem is that when they do, 9 times out of 10, they're metastatic, they're everywhere else, and now you're fighting an uphill battle. And Jim knows that better than all of us.
Well, Dr. Forsythe, you know, we also look at this, too. We say patients have been going to the doctor. I go to the doctor every year. There's nothing wrong with me. I got a clean bill of health. What does he do? How are you doing? He sits there, asks about your family. Yeah, we'll just run, you know, your regular blood tests. They'll look at your eyes. They'll glance in your ears, and they'll sometimes listen to your heart and your lungs, and you're out the door. That is a standard annual health exam for 99.9% people in this world. And really, when you come up against it and something bad happens, you know, you break something and you go in for an x-ray and that's when they find things. Or if you go in for a really bad chest cold and you get a chest x-ray and they find things. You know, what really can a patient do when really finding you, finding help, or knowing what to say to the physician is really up to the patient. A physician is not going to be saying, I'm going to call you up, hey, you know, I haven't checked your cancer markers, even though you don't have cancer, in the past year, come on in. They don't do that. There has to be a reason why. So what can a patient do to be able to activate some of this proactive preventative therapies and treatments?
Boy, that's a whole hour program in itself, Jeanette,
yeah,
and you bring up excellent points. Of course, you're right, and with Obamacare now, we're looking at maybe 7 to 10 minutes per patient for a family doctor or an internist. And what can a doctor do with a patient in even 10 minutes besides scribble a few prescriptions, try and get approval for a few tests, and then out the door,
right,
and not even fully examining the patient most times, and not really going into any family matters, toxic matters, or supplements, very rarely ever discussing about diet. In fact, Jeanette, as you know, in most infusion centers and hospitals, they have a big bowl of candy and usually soft drinks for
yes.
the patients as they take their chemo. So they don't even believe that low-sugar diets have any meaning.
Right.
But it's a good question. I don't think we have the answers to all of that yet because with the influx of, well, there's supposed to be 40 million people that were uninsured, well, there's only been 8 million that have signed up over a six-month period, so where's the other 32 million? I haven't figured that one out yet either. But anyway, it's going to be a problem because we've got tons of new Medicaid patients. A lot of doctors have shut off their practices to Medicaid already. A lot aren't taking any more Medicare patients. You now get paid more as a doctor to see a Medicaid patient than a Medicare patient, and a hospital makes more seeing a Medicaid patient than a Medicare patient. So the Medicare patients are being pushed out of the system and being discriminated against. And then with the IPAD board, the Independent Payment Advisory Board, certain patients over certain ages aren't going to get procedures or medicines. For instance, if you're over 70 now, mammograms aren't really necessary. If you're over 50, it's not really necessary to do a PSA anymore. We'll just wait and watch. And then if you have brain cancer after the age of 70, they've already decided no surgery, only radiation
right.
and chemo for a short period. If it doesn't work, good hospice counseling. So we're seeing all these things coming down, trickling down very slowly, which is basically a form of rationing and trying to dispense of the older folks with illness in the fastest way possible. I hate to say it that way, but it reminds you of Nazi Germany during the 30s when they went through the nursing homes and the mental institutions and started smothering patients in order because they were a tax burden.
You know, and I also understand that as, you know, we always say that's for people maybe in the lower end that may have Obama insurance or people that may have no insurance at all or, and as you said, with Medicare. However, I myself always like to talk about myself on this show, but here we go. You know, I had a gold Humana, you know, before, and I was paying, I think it was like five something a month just for me. I had a great one, you know, low deductible, hardly any copay. You can get whatever you want, super high lifetime thing. And I got the exact same care as anyone else would. You know, I can remember there was a period of time after Hurricane Katrina here in the South because I had stayed and I had a blood clot in my leg and my treatment was no different than anyone else. It was, you can just sit there and wait and maybe somebody will come and do an ultrasound and, a Doppler. And when they came to do it, it was, you know, pushed on 2 points. Oh, I don't see anything. Oh, well, see you later. And here's a drug for pain. Are you kidding me? Really? You know, so it does not really matter what you have. In fact, in insurance, sometimes it does. Now, I'm not going to say that there are many instances across the board, but you're also left up to the mercy of the doctor and the system in which you're in. And you know, people to say, I think I have strived, and Al's been on the show before, we have strived to say, people awaken, people stand up, tell your doctor no, you know, say, I'll be back, you know, I respect and honor what you're saying, doctor, but you know what, I need to check some things out, and I'll see you 6 months, or I'll see you next month, or whatever. And take that leap and check things out. Here on the shows, I'm with us over 150 shows here. What do? We always tell the good, bad, and ugly. We say stand up and think about it. Challenge someone else. No doctor, well, you know, of course, there are many that are, but not every doctor can know everything about everything. You cannot take, you know, 10,000 doctors and say that they all have an idea what Dr. Forsyth is doing. It's not possible. They can't do that. They're doing their day-to-day work. So everybody's doing their best. So it's really up to the patient. If you're worried about your quality of life, if you're worrying about that end date on the calendar, it's up to you, period. Plain and simple, seek out help and find it that way. And I think, you know, with PolyMVA with Al and with Dr. Forsyth, these are great starts. You know, check those things out. You may not be able to go to Reno, but you may be able to find out what he's got going on there, read some of his books that he's authored, and turn around and bring those to your doctor and say, I need this. And your doctor may say, I don't know what you're talking about. And say, well, can you send me to someone else who may? That's where you have to start.
It's one of the nice things I get to do, Jeanette, is the fact that I get to visit with all the different doctors. So I get to see a little bit of what one does and what this one does. You know, so I get to see, and maybe not necessarily get an answer to that question you asked about what can be done, but I think you generally answered it. It's the patient's responsibility. So just like maintaining your car, that's your responsibility. Maintaining your body, that's your responsibility. We cannot rely, and I don't think we should rely on it, any governmental system or the medical system. You know, it's there to take care of the bigger things that it needs to take care of. But the day-to-day stuff, what happens in our own lives, that's up to us. And it's nice to have, you know, people like Dr. Forsyth that have shown what can be done when you do it this way. Okay, great. Doesn't mean it's the only way, but at the same time, it's what's working for him based upon his experience and what he's seen. That has value, obviously, based on oncology because of his experience and what he knows. So, yes, it lends a little more weight than maybe somebody who's just, you know, tried something once or twice. Okay, great. But it doesn't necessarily mean that person's other thing is any different. It just means it's different. Will it work for you? Don't know. That's where the person then has to go and try to seek it out and search it out. And whether it's PolyMVA, whether it's Dr. Forsyth, whether it's A, B, C, or D, that's the patient's decision. So it's one of the things I like about the shows that you do and the other doctors do is that we share the information, we share what we know. We're not promising, we're not saying it's the only thing that's out there, we're not saying that it's the silver bullet for anything, no. But what is doing, what we see, what Dr. Forsyth sees on a daily basis here in his clinic, what I get to see with the patients that call in with the various doctors and the clients that we have is that guess what? Paulie makes a difference. Jim makes a difference. His program right. makes a difference. And if that fits with whatever, and everybody, all of us are in different places at different stages in our lives, and if it fits for you, wonderful. That automatically makes you feel better. That talk about a positive mindset like Dr. Forsyth was referring to earlier. If he believes in it and they believe in him, the power of belief is, you know, I used to think I knew it was important, but I didn't think it was as important as I do now. The power that can have on just the way you feel on a daily basis. You breathe a little easier, you're relaxed, you're thinking, okay, you have hope. Wow, the power of hope and faith, and you tie that together with your circumstances and what you come to Jim's office and you see what his patients are going through. You automatically feel in a good place. And to be a part of that is shows me what that answer is. It's not very specific because obviously it changes for everybody, but in general, the recipe for success in healthcare, in someone's health, in someone's life is up to them. And at a certain level, it's pretty simple. We just kind of complicate it with all kinds of stuff in our life.
And Jeanette, what you do is very important because you're getting the word out. More doctors need to be proactive like you are and get the word out because we need to teach the population now that they do have to be proactive and take control of their own health and not be passive about it because there's with the system the way it is, when you get to socialized medicine, which we're headed for, you have to be proactive and take care and research. The internet is a wonderful source and there's so much out there. Patients who see me have often read several 4 or 5 cancer books. They've been on the internet. They've seen me on YouTube, Facebook. They've seen my website, so they know they have a pretty good idea what my training is and what I've done, and or any other doctor that they want to research. So they're really taking advantage of the technology that's out there these days, and that's so important. And getting the word out as you're doing, Jeanette. And incidentally, I have a radio show here in Reno called Health Matters, which I do every Friday, which is carried on the internet as well. 101.3 on the FM station, if you're interested. We need doctors to get more active and to get the word out, and also to criticize what's going on in the conventional side. So many doctors are afraid to criticize their own profession and specialty, and I'm not. I go after, in fact, I tell patients, you don't need a PET scan, CAT scan, or bone scan anymore. You've already had 10 of them. You're glowing in the dark. Wow. These high radiologic procedure, high-dose radiologic procedures are beating down your immune cells, which are very radiosensitive, and you're hurting your own defenses. So please do an MRI, do an ultrasound, do a plain chest x-ray. That's okay. But please stay away from these expensive procedures that really add very little to your care, and there are other parameters you can use. Use tumor markers. That's non-invasive. Use an MRI. There's no radiation there. And I really preach that to my patients, Jeanette, because most of them had PET or CAT scans every 3 or 4 months for the last 3 or 4 years or more.
Yeah, you know, I had spoken to someone the other day, and they said that they were having CTs done, and they were having a CT done every week for the last 2 months because they wanted to see the progress of their disease. And I just couldn't answer. You just have to say God bless you, and you have to say a prayer for them. You just can't. Some people just aren't willing to see that or hear that, and we have to also honor that because that is where they are. But to people that are listening or are able to say, maybe I don't want that, maybe I would like something else, that is where Dr. Forsyth and Al, that's where you and I all together are trying to help people say, look, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Turn it on before you get there, you know. We want to shine that light on and say, pay attention a little bit sooner, you know.
There's one person out there that hears this, and maybe they're scheduled mm-hmm. for a CT scan. Maybe now they have the information to walk in there and say, how many more times radiation am I getting? Why are you giving
right.
this to me? And the doctor, sometimes the doctor might go, okay, we'll give you an ultrasound. I mean, all you have
yeah.
to do is ask. It doesn't hurt just to say why.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing in today's day and age when you're sitting in front of any doctor, for that matter.
It's so important to ask why and to say different things. And here's another thing. I was a dental hygienist for 30 years. You know, when you take the x-rays in dentistry, we were taught in the school in the 70s that you can adjust, you're supposed to adjust the radiation for the person's build and, you know, the size and the age and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? If you're a very heavy set person, you're getting a CT and it's just set on a standard thing, that's going to affect you one way. But if you're a person who has cancer and you're really not in that shape and your body is really deteriorating and you go in right after this other person, they did not adjust that. I can almost guarantee most of them don't.
Right.
Now, there's a push
sure.
on that they want to, but they haven't done it yet because the government hasn't given them regulations or whatever.
And
so you're really getting same dose.
I tell patients, and this you might put this under your cap, that you're going to get 600 times the radiation dose over a chest x-ray if you do a PET CT. 600
right.
times. And I said, picture yourself standing in front of that radiologic box getting your chest x-ray for 600 times in a row and asking yourself,
yep.
am I getting too much radiation?
Right.
I mean, the answer will come quickly.
Yeah. And it's just so widely used. There are no standards that have changed it yet. And you know, when you go in, that's – we have to remember, too, and I'm sure you both can speak to this, that there are, as you said, protocols. Dr. Forsythe, you went to school and there were protocols. There are protocols now for your cancer type or whatever, and the doctor is still supposed to follow those protocols. And you know what we have to look at also? A doctor can have a problem getting payments or coverage, and they can also have a problem with their medical license if they aren't following these protocols because they, quote, get investigated. So, you know, it's really up to a patient to say, am I going to still stay in that paradigm or am I going to step outside of it? And I'm sure, Dr. Forsythe, you've seen that before. I know a lot of nurses who are doing these chart reviews. They're doing online chart reviews, and they say, and an online nurse is saying, oh, that code doesn't belong in there. That's not supposed to be in there for that protocol. So we're going to redline this doctor. And that happens.
Mm-hmm. That happens. Yes, it does. And it's happening more and more. And there are certain places where certain cancer drugs, I've called oncologists up in Canada on patients, Jeanette, and told them what drug I want to give, and they said, oh, that drug is not allowed in Canada. It's too expensive for our system. So that's too bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
Send the patient back to me. I'll give it to her here or something. You know, and it's just amazing how they are going to be rationing the expensive drugs. And let's say some of these targeted agents like Avastin or Erbitux are so expensive, Jeanette, that it's $6,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 for a single IV, and you're getting this every 2 or 3 weeks. So you're part of your insurance is paying 80%, but think of what you have left over. I've had patients come and see me and say they have a $6,000 bill after their insurance covered everything, and they said it would have been cheaper to see you for your alternative therapy than pay $6,000 per month times 12 months, which is $70,000. The patient has to think about that side too, that their deductible is going to be so high.
Yes. You know, and that's so incredible, and especially when your doctor says to you, oh, well, that procedure is not covered, what do you do? So really, we're coming to the end of the show, and what I really wanted to focus on is what can people do from here on out? And I always like to focus on, I think the immune system needs to be brought up, and that's why, Al, you know, I really think that let's not wait until you have a, quote, diagnosis. Poly-MVA is really essential, and that will help in your immune system. And Dr. Forsythe, you would also say, you know, going forward, you know, what would I want to be looking at in going to my doctor and saying, you know, I'm not going to wait until the door slams me in the face and locks me in. What can I look at going forward in my health, and what should I have tested or not?
Yeah, and a good point, Jeanette. You can do immune studies. You can do lymphocyte subset panels, which cover B and T cells, natural killer cells. So those are important. We, in our clinic, do hair analysis because many people, they have a mouthful of silver amalgams. They have, and you know this as being in the dental field for a number of years, that silver amalgams contain mercury, silver, nickel, and tin, the most common alloys. And they may have radon under their house. They may be under high tension wires. There may be just too much Wi-Fi in their house or their business, where they're being bombarded. We know there's a problem now with cell phones being held on the ear and brain tumors increasing on that same side of the head. So there's all kinds of things that they need to be educated on. Including the toxins in our food products and the glutens and the food additives that are out there that, we should all be eating organic food, obviously, but the expense of it is beyond some people. But all those things need to be addressed, and it's more than a doctor can do in 10 minutes, and that's what's the failing of the system is that the doctors are going to be overwhelmed with patients and not be able to even do the slightest amount of preventative care. In fact, there was a study done at Duke, I believe it was, that showed that if doctors did the preventative care that is outlined in Obamacare, they would spend 7 out of 8 hours of their working day just doing the preventive care and not seeing patients.
Right.
So there you go.
Well, and I think that's where the supplements really come in, like you mentioned earlier, Jeanette, where, you know, the So cancer patients are taking some upwards of 20, 30, 40 ml per day, and they have to do that for a certain period of time in the protocol. But prophylactically, you know, I take half a teaspoon a day. My children take a
right.
quarter teaspoon a day. Even my dog takes 6 drops a day. So it's something, you know, and you combine that with fish oils, with liver support, with things like CoQ10, with vitamin D. These are a lot of the basics that your body needs just on a daily basis. And we can't get enough of it from our food, unfortunately, especially with all the toxins, all the stress, all the different things that are in our life. Those things deplete. Those are the things that our body uses up to help combat the things that are going on in our lives. So if we're not getting enough from our food, that's where supplementation is the key. And that's where poly just really makes it ideal for half a teaspoon, 1 teaspoon, 2 teaspoons, 4 teaspoons. And it allows the doctors, and like what Jim's developed in his protocols, various programs in which he can add it in, and he can send the patients home on it when he needs to, and maybe it's at a lower dose, at a higher dose, but then that becomes the doctor's call based upon the patient's situation and entire protocol they're putting them on. However, you know, it's nice that a half a teaspoon for most people is exactly what you need for daily support.
And I've just completed my last book, which is Dr. Forsythe's Natural Remedies, which basically steers people away from big pharma drugs and tells about all the natural supplements, herbs, vitamins, minerals, things like poly-MVA, that are useful in many illnesses where you don't need to run to the doctor or the urgent care center or emergency room,
right.
and just do them yourself, and you'll see that you do get better with the natural remedies, and these are common diseases. We're not talking here about necessarily cancer or heart disease or stroke, but, you know, even for the statin drugs, there are many natural remedies. For heart disease, many natural remedies. Dr. Steve Sinatra in the East Coast has books out on this, the natural remedies for heart disease. And so there's a lot they can do on their own, and this just gets back to the point you've made earlier that patients need to be proactive and learn about their own health and do what they can personally, because the medical system that we're evolving into is not going to do it for them.
You know, we always talk about compliance and how patient compliance is a problem. But, you know, if you go into the doctor and he says, you have high blood pressure today, I want you to take this drug, you think you take that drug for until the bottle's gone, and then you think, okay, my high blood pressure has gone away. Now, I know you guys think that that's foreign, but we really need to think about the whole circle. There are a lot of people on different paradigms in which they believe or what they may know about health. You know, on the West Coast, everybody is a guru. Everybody's drinking green goop. Everybody knows it, and they need to exercise. Well, here in the Deep South, they think that, you know, I don't feel well, I go to the doctor, and I'll get my, you know, pills to fix whatever that is. And it's also important, I think, for the listeners to understand, when you go into the doctor and he says a number is skewed and he wants to give you a prescription, once you take that prescription is what's keeping that number to not be skewed. So therefore, if you were in your 20s and he says you have high blood pressure, you need to take this, we're not belittling that high blood pressure is not a problem. It is a problem. But do you now realize that you may be taking that prescription and refilling it till the day you die? That's important to know. And to say, is there anything I'm contributing to that high blood pressure has never been addressed. So really, we want to always talk about, how are you as a patient? Are you eating well? What's in your area? What's in your environment? Are you able to get up and exercise and really take care of yourself? And I think that's the bottom line in this. Because, you know, Dr. Forsythe and Al are all talking about, you know, this end where everything is really piled in front of you, and then you're really faced with, do I just sit here and do the regular things and I'll die, you know, within 6 months or whatever, or do I really put up the fight and have hope and really do some alternatives and I will have a better quality of life and maybe I will win that fight? And that's really, really important to grasp that you as a patient are in control of your health at any age, at 22, at 48, at 69, you know, at 92, it's really important to know that you do have control. And you can say yes, and you can say no, and you can check other things out. I mean, I live here in the Deep South. I keep saying that all the time on the radio shows, you know. There's a thing on the TV the other night where they said, the chemical plants here are really having a hard time because they want to put up a state regulation that says the chemical plants will have to be required to say what they release. Right now, chemical plants can release whatever they want in the state of Louisiana. It's called self-reporting. Do you really think you're going to tell somebody if you're putting something out? Come on, really. You got to be crazy. You know, and so that's up to the patient to understand this.
Yeah, it really is. And I think there's a good balance between that. And it's changing. It's a little bit slow, but it does take, unfortunately, generations to do so. But, I mean, just look at the Trader Joe's, the Mother's Kitchens, all the little places. People are asking for Whole Foods. You know, people are asking for that. Even a lot of the mainstream stores, whether it's true or not, but at least they now have an organic section. And guess what? The farmers markets, you know, buy locally, buy where you know, buy from your community. Don't buy from the big corporations anymore because they don't have our best interest in mind. The local growers in your area, the local people in your community, they are the people you'll turn to. And you're a great example of that with what happened in Katrina. You can't rely on the federal government. You got to rely on each other. You know, what happened in Ohio with all the floods and in the Midwest and everything. You know, it's great that you can have it as a resource as an overall protection, but when it comes down to it at the end of the day, it's our responsibility, it's our neighbor's responsibility, it's our community's responsibility, and the more we support and generate that, the better off we'll be as a whole.
Well, Dr. Forsyth, we have about a few minutes left. Could you give us what you see going forward in cancer therapies and how people will be able to find out more about you and the work that you do?
Oh, thank you, Jeanette, and thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your audience. My best website is www.drforsyth.com, and my best email is renowellnessdoctor, that's dr@yahoo.com. And my address in Reno is 521 Hamel Lane, Reno, Nevada, 89519 for any inquiries we have. My best phone number is 775-827-0707. And I've written 15 books. The cancer book that you're referring to is Take Control of Your Cancer, put out by Ben Bella Press. And in it I go over important aspects of the testing that I do and the research I've done with outcome-based studies, which I think is the answer, because with a cancer patient, what are they, how long are they living after you begin treatment with them, and what is the nature of their quality of life during that period? Are they in a complete remission, a partial remission, stable disease, and so on? Those things are all vital to knowing whether or not you want to go with a conventional system or a integrative system.
And Al, could you give us a little update on PolyMVA so the listeners will be able to know how to purchase that?
I'd love to. So we're still at the same place there in San Diego, same location on the web at polymva.com. So that's P-O-L-Y, M as in Mary, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, .com. You can reach us at 866-PolyMVA. Or our direct line is 619-447-6500. And, of course, by email at info@polymva.com. We're happy to help. We're happy to coordinate. We have a whole group of doctors that we work with around the country that we can help to direct you to if you have any questions or specific uses for the PolyMVA. You know, the basic message is about the education. So we're here to help people. And if it's something that Polly feels that can benefit them, you know, we've been around for well over 15 years now, coming up almost on 20 with the product as it is, and it's doing good work, both in the humans and in the animals, and we'd love to help if we can give the opportunity.
And I might add, Jeanette, as a user of Polly for the last almost 14 years now, that it has a wonderful safety profile. In fact, they use our safety data in doing the stroke study at Stony Brook University under Frank Antonovich because of the exquisite reliability and safety profile of the product itself.
Thank you so much for being with us. I know PolyMVA, I've been with them for a long time also myself. And also the customer service at PolyMVA is top-notch. If you have any questions whatsoever, please do call them. And also they will be able to answer almost most of your questions. And as Al had said, they also have referral systems. And to find out more about Dr. Forsyth, also please visit his website. And I'd like to thank you both for being with us today. It's been a pleasure.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Jeanette.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And if you'd like more information about Dr. James Forsyth, we will have the website on today's show page directly after the show. If you'd like more information about PolyMVA, it's polymva.com. And I will tell you, it's so vitally important that you must pay attention to your body, see what's going on. Something feels out of kilter, see if you could find out more information about that. And if you'd like more help, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. My website is mypersonaladvocate2.com. That is what we're here for. Please do ask the questions. Don't wait until that door slams in your face and gets locked shut. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's a pleasure. And until tomorrow, have a wonderful day.